Good morning to the team from the Department of Energy. I don't see who's the leader. And members of the public present, good morning, you're all welcome. We're going to receive a briefing on the second and third quarter reports from the Department of Energy today. Before we do that, as we normally do, I see there's no agenda there here. I'm told by the gentleman next to me that it has not been printed. But then the next item is apologies. Immediately after that, we'll receive the presentation from the department on the two quarters, and that's all we'll be doing for today. We will start with him so that he can tell us why he's here. Tell us why the person who's here is not here. Okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, officials of the department. My name is Disang Mutumi, and I'm the Committee Secretary for Public Enterprises, and I'm standing in for Ariko Kotze, who is not feeling well today. He's off sick.
Ariko Kotze is off sick. His name is Disang Mutumi, so I'm sure he's welcome. Go ahead.
Okay. Chair, we've received apology from the Minister, the DG also sent us an apology, and from the Portfolio Committee we've received an apology from Honourable Faku.
Honourable Faku. Who's the leader of this delegation? Is this delegation, or should I assume by the fact that we're sitting here that the leader of the delegation? Okay. All right. Where is the minister and the DG?
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chairperson. The Director General and the Minister are on an official visit to the United States Chairperson.
United States? Okay. And the Deputy Minister?
The DM will be joining us.
So, can we proceed with the presentation? Honourable Dlamini?
No, now that the Minister and the DG are not here, can we be just a quick introduction? Who are the delegation that is here? Because we've got some pressing issues that we need to deal with. You can see this presentation, but there are serious issues. So, we want to know who is here from the department so that at least we know that maybe. Can be able to help us with those answers. Yes,
I'm interested in those pressing issues. Okay, they will introduce themselves before they do the presentation, and they indicated that the Deputy Minister is also coming, so it depends. If you can raise your pressing issues now or wait for the Deputy Minister to arrive and then raise them then. Okay, please introduce your team before you give us your presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I'm Lloyd Gunter. I'm the acting COO in the Department of Energy, and I'll be leading the team on this presentation for the two projects.
You're the acting COO. The Honourable Matlala says can he properly.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I'm accompanied by the CFO of the department, Ms. Yvonne Shetty, and the Director for Financial Management and Planning, Ms. Nontlantla Chabalala, the DG for Nuclear Energy, Mr. Zizamele Mbambo, the Acting DG for Programs and Projects, Mr. Jacob Mbele, and the project manager responsible for a renewable energy project, Mr. Kanyiso Zihlangu, and the acting DDG for corporate services, Mr. Lucas Molaudzi, and the chief director for clean energy, Ms. Mukhari Budise, our frontier chair. And also we have Mr. Marco Bella, who's a DDG for petroleum regulation, petroleum product. And we've got also Mr. Hlungwane, who's the Chief Director in the DG's office. We've got Ms. Louisa Mhlambe, who's the head of the Deputy Minister's office. And we've got Ms. Zandile Mavrudla. Ms. Zandile is the PLO in the Minister's office, DG. And we've got other colleagues. And also we've got Mr. Alan Taylor, who's the advisor to the Minister.
I'm sure you have taken notes of the acting positions. Okay. So let's get the presentation. So Honorable Damin, I assume that you will wait for the Deputy Minister to join us.
Chair, thanks for the opportunity to present the department's second and third quarter financial and operational performance for the 16-17 financial year. Chair, we'll start with the financial performance, and the CFO will lead with that, and that will also maybe just provide some clarity on some of the issues relating to staffing, funding for vacancies, and also for infrastructure. And you see when she speaks to her presentation, you'll understand why we have some of the acting deputies instead of the permanent staff.
Go ahead, CFO.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, acting DG, colleagues on the department, and other colleagues present here this morning. I'll present the second quarter financial results as at 31st of August 2016. Page 2. The adjusted budget in total for the Department of Energy is 7.5 billion. The year-to-date budget is, meaning it's 1 April to 31st of August, it's for the 6 months that I'm reporting on. The budget is 5.1 billion. We have spent to date 4.6 billion, leaving a variance of 438 million. The variances are in the following programs: administration, which covers the DG's office, the ministry, the CFO, COO, internal audits, and corporate services. It's overspent by 21 million, and I will give reasons. Energy policy and planning is underspent by 5.2 million. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation is a small underspend. Electricity and energy programs and projects is underspent by 13.2. Nuclear energy, 77.9 million underspent. clean energy, 390.5 million underspent. The main reasons for the performance, just as an overview, the department's 2016-17 original appropriation was 7.5 billion, of which 6.8 billion, or 90%, was appropriated to transfer payments to the department's entities and implementing agents. During the 2016 adjustment process, the following adjustments were factored into the original appropriation. We had applied for a rollover, and we did get a rollover for non-grid project to the value of 5.3 million. Compensation of employees, we had an additional amount of 7.5 million. Goods and services was reduced by 7.5 million to enable us to increase compensation of employees. These adjustments increased the department's appropriation to 7.5 billion, comprising of compensation of employees, 318 million, goods and services, 396.2 million, transfer payments, 6.8 billion. Payments for capital assets is 4.1 million. A significant portion of the adjusted appropriation of 6.83 billion is earmarked as transfer payments under programs 4, which is programs and projects, program 5, which is nuclear, program 6, which is clean energy. The total departmental expenditure to date is 4.67 billion, which is roughly around 61.8% of the adjusted budget. The total budget available to year-end is 2.2 billion, including transfer payments of 2.4 billion, with a remaining net operational budget of 397 million. If we have a quick overview of the economic classification, the 7.5 billion we have is broken down into the categories of compensation of employees, which has 318 million, goods and services, 396 million, transfer payments, 6.8 billion, and capital assets, 4 million. The economic classifications, if I look at compensation of employees, it is overspent. And Chair, I want to stop just to give a little bit of explanation. There has been a reduction in the compensation of employees across all national departments. The budget for compensation of employees is exclusively appropriated, meaning we cannot just do vironments to augment the deficit. Only an act of parliament can have that figure changed. But further on, I will give details of the deficit, why the deficit arose, and what the process the department has undertaken to help the deficit, to help with the deficit, sorry. Goods and services as an underspend of 131.3 million, transfer payments 312 million, and capital assets of 105,000. The reasons for the under or the overspending under compensation of employees, this is just an overview for the entire department. There is an overspending on compensation of employees of 5.2 million. The reduction in the baseline allocation by National Treasury has contributed to the shortfall in the compensation funding. Further contributors to the overspending is contract posts of 69 positions carried additional to the establishment, overtime payments, and it's mainly in programs 1, 3, and 4. Goods and services, the underspending in this classification is 131.3 million. The underspending is mainly attributable to delays in finalizing contracts for the implementation of the solar water heating project and monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the energy efficiency project being implemented by chosen municipalities. Nuclear renewable program due to delays in internal verification processes. However, Chair, I want to point out that this is the second quarter at 31st of August. We have been overtaken by events, and where possible, I will make mention if it has been corrected in quarter three or quarter four, just to round off the full explanation. Reasons for underspending and transfer payments. There is an underspending of 312 million on the year-to-date budget. The underspending, as I mentioned, was solar water heating, energy efficiency and demand side management of 60 million, non-grid of 28 million, and INF municipalities of 38.6 million, is a result of misalignment between DORA projects, projections as submitted to National Treasury, and the gazetted transfers. There is also an overspending of international membership fees, which could not be rolled over from the 2016-17 financial year. Chair, I will now proceed to give you by program with the reasons for the over or the underspend as of 31st of August. The budget results are for the 6 months ended, 30th September. Compensation of employees, the year-to-date budget is $67.9 million. We have spent $74.5 million. We overspent by $6.6 million. The overspending in compensation of employees year-to-date is mainly attributable to contract positions, with 41 contract positions carried additional to the establishment. Overtime payments amounting to $1.7 million, as well as a reduction in the compensation baseline allocated by National Treasury. These reasons carry through for many of the programs. Under goods and services, we had a year-to-date budget of $49.4 million. We've spent $62.6 million. We overspent by $13.1 million. And the reasons? It's mainly due to shortfalls in the travel and subsistence and associated administrative cost of $6 million due to the number of national and international commitments, the Triple P events held in the Minister's Office and the Deputy Minister's Office, and departmental events undertaken by the Department. There has been increased cost in the IT Department. There's been increase in the communication expenditure, legal services due to the cost in relation to litigation matters currently underway, and the cost for operating leases for accommodation as a result of additional services following the relocation of the department's regional offices. There's also been an overspend under transfers and subsidies of $1.7 million. The overspending is due to international membership fees relating to the African Petroleum Producers Association that was carried over from the 2015-16 financial year. Those are the main variances under the administration program. Program 2, energy policy and planning. There are underspends of $1.1 million in compensation of employees. This was mainly due to a position that was given up so that we have a reprioritization in the department to absorb some of the shortfall in that budget. Goods and services at an underspending of $4.1 million. The underspending is mainly due to delays in finalizing the procurement processes for the following: the energy footprint study, hosting of events for the gas amendment bill, stakeholder engagements, as well as postponed monthly site visits for monitoring and evaluation of the smart grid pilot project. Program 3, Petroleum and Petroleum Products Regulation. There's a small underspend in compensation of employees. Goods and services also had a 401 underspend. Program 4, Electrification and Energy Program and Project Management. There's a small underspend in compensation of employees. Goods and services had a budget of $7.3 million. We've spent $11.1 million. We've overspent by $3.7 million. And the reason thereof, the overspending of $3.7 million is attributable to the monitoring and verification activities undertaken by INAP and the departmental events that took place during the period under review. Transfers and subsidies, they had a budget of $3.6 billion. We have overspent by $10.1 million. And the main reason for the overspending is it's a result of the misalignment between the DORA projections submitted to National Treasury and the gazetted transfers. Program 5, nuclear energy. It had a very small overspend in compensation of employees. Goods and services at an underspend of $77.3 million. The underspending is mainly in goods and services due to the delays in the payments for the nuclear new build program and the delays were due to the internal verification processes that were underway. However, Chair, I want to point out that the payments have been subsequently paid in quarter four. Program 6, there is a small underspend in compensation of employees. Goods and services is underspent by 66.3 million, and the underspending is due to the delayed implementation of solar water heating program, monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the EEDSM Municipalities Grant. Chair, a lot of progress has happened in the third and the fourth quarter in the solar water heater program, and I will give more details in the third quarter because we have been overtaken by events in this one. Transfer payments, there's a year-to-date budget of 400.9 million. We've spent 77.2 million, a huge underspending of 323.7 million. The transfer payments is mainly due to the delays in the implementation of the solar water heating program, which I've mentioned in third and fourth quarter as rectified itself. Transfer payments schedule. This is an overview of all the transfers within all the programs. Program 4, which is programs and projects. We had an overspend of 38.6 million, which I've given the reasons for. It's the misalignment between the DORA Act and the projections and the transfers that were gazetted. Non-grid, there were delays in the signing of the contracts, which has subsequently been done in the quarter, in quarter three. Program 6, EEDSM municipalities, there's an underspend of 60 million, which I've given the reasons of. Solar water heating, 263.7 million, and those have been rectified. And there's an overspend in membership fees because we didn't have a rollover from the 15-16 financial year. Chair, that takes care of the second quarter financial results only. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will go through the performance of the department for the third quarter, Chair, and I'll just go through it and then the with regards to Program 1, which is Financial Management Services for the third quarter, Chair. Some of the key milestones for this quarter was that we, for the 15th financial year, we did achieve a team audit from AG. All our approved invoices were paid within 30 days as per cabinet directive, and there were no major challenges for that program, Chair, for the second quarter. With regards to corporate services, a progress report on the HR plan was produced and submitted to the DPSA, but we are having some challenges, Chairperson, with regards to the vacancy rate. The vacancy rate target stands at 10%, and currently we're at 11.5%, as you might have noticed. And we have done also, Chairperson, we're having a problem with the recruitment of people with disabilities. And this, Chair, actually it's a challenge not only for the department, but I've noticed it's a trend with even some of the entities, Chairperson. We're struggling to attract people with disabilities to be able to meet the 2% target, Chair. Program 2, the IRP was discussed by the Ministerial Advisory Committee on Energy and subsequently submitted to Cabinet. The transfer base case was also completed, and the 20-year liquid fuels master plan was approved for external consultations with other government departments. One of the challenges that we have experienced, particularly with this program, Chair, is we've had a number of resignations from senior managers, and also there's been delays in filling up some of the positions for specialists. The petroleum product regulation branch, we had a target of 18 retail site inspections. During the second quarter, 500 site inspections were conducted, Chair. 701 flow samples were collected and tested, and we had processed 173 applications for retail sites, and of those 134 applications scored 50% and more on for historical disadvantaged South African shareholding. For this branch chairperson, we didn't have any major challenges. Program 4, which is the programs and projects branch, which deals with the INEP electrification program. The municipality electrification targets were met. About 35,000 households were electrified, with an additional 61,775 households electrified by ESCOM. So the overall, including rollovers from the previous financial year, chairperson, came to about 96,132 households which were electrified during that period. About draft policies on gender and disability were also finalized and are being, during that quarter, were being approved internally for implementation. Major challenges, chairperson, have been that there's been lack of progress with the development of substations, and as you can see, progress there was about 17%, and also overall progress on the implementation of power lines was also low at 16%. But most projects have since progressed during the subsequent quarter, chairperson, and you see when you go to the third quarter progress. Program 5, which is the nuclear energy program, some of the milestones achieved there, Chair, was the nuclear, we had some public engagements on the nuclear program, and there were some exhibitions also, an exhibition at the Sibagumakgatho Health Sciences University, and also we had a number of meetings with stakeholders regarding the monitoring report for compliance in regards with the procurement as directed by the Energy Security Subcommittee, Chair. I think we, during that quarter, Chair, we were still struggling, or not really struggling, but there were some delays in the establishment of the project management office, which was pending approval of the Energy Security Subcommittee. But as honourable members know, that there's since been a cabinet decision regarding how the nuclear program needs to be implemented going forward, with some of the functions moving to ESCOM and also NEXA. So there was a cabinet decision which then moved some of the functions from it. Program 6, which is clean energy, the annual compliance report data for second environmental management plan edition was completed for the quarter. As the CFO had initially indicated in the finance report, that there were challenges with the EDSM program, where we've had some challenges with municipalities in terms of getting the necessary information that was required for that MNV program. And also the outline project for the draft national biogas and biomass strategy was done, but the strategy was not completed and approved under the quarter. Those were, Chair, I think those were just some of the milestones that we picked up from the department's APP for the quarter. And as the CFO had indicated, that there's been also some progress with regards to the solar water heater program chair. If you see in the second quarter financials, there were delays with the spending and also the progress on the, but going forward, you'll see that there's been some milestones with regards to ensuring that there is local content in the manufacturing of the solar water systems, and also that the manufacturing happens locally. Thanks.
Will you see that in the third quarter report? Will you? Honourable members, do you want to take questions now or go to the... All right. Third quarter.
Can I just request for the CFO to start with the financial statement for third quarter and then get into your operational business?
Thank you, Chairperson. Third quarter results will be as of 31st of December 2016. The year-to-date budget in total for the 9 months ended is 6.6 billion. We've spent 6.3 billion, there's an underspend of 266 million. Under administration, there's an overspend of 31.2 million. Energy policy and planning, an underspend of 6.5 million. Petroleum and petroleum products regulation, overspend of 3.5 million. Electricity and energy program management, underspend of 75.3 million. Nuclear energy, underspend by 95.6 million. Clean energy, underspend by 124.1 million. And I'll give you the reasons. Financial performance overview. The department 2016-17 original appropriation of 7.5 billion, and 90% of that is for transfer payments. I've gone through the rollovers and the adjustments, but there is by program. I will give you the reasons for every variance. If we can proceed to the third quarter financial performance by economic classification. Compensation of employees for the third quarter ended is overspent by 11.7 million. And the reasons? The reduction in the baseline allocation by National Treasury, which I've also mentioned earlier on, will hold through right to quarter four as part of the reasons for the overspend. There are 65 contract positions carried additional to the establishment. Overtime payments amounting to 3.4 million, mainly in programs 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, with the exception of Mr. Apani's section, which is energy policy and planning. Allocation for compensation of employees was adjusted upwards by 7.5 million, from 310 million to 318 million, following the conclusion of the 2016-17 AENE process, which partially contributed to the reduction in the projected overspending. We had requested 21.5 million. We only received 7.5 million as an adjustment. Expenditure is projected to increase to 324.6 million at the end of the financial year against a budget of 318 million, which will result in an overspending of 6.34 million at year end. Before the AENE, the projected deficit in compensation of employees was 20.19 million for the full 2016-17 financial year, including the cost of filling of critical vacant posts. National Treasury approved a reprioritization of 7.5 million, which was to lower the projected deficit of 20.1 million. However, Chair, the deficit that remains will be an unauthorized expenditure and will be classified as such at year end. goods and services, the overall net budget underspending of 164.9 million. The major variances are for earmarked funds in consultants and business advisory services of 182.1 million, and agency and support outsourced services of 4.8 million, attributable to the following projects: earmarked funds for solar water heater project and monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the energy efficiency programs being implemented by certain municipalities were delayed due to the finalizing of the implementation contracts. Earmarked funds for the nuclear new build program, there were delays in the disbursement of payments. These were in relation to the procurement of the project management system. Outstanding payments on this project have been rectified in quarter four. Budget for goods and services have been adjusted downwards by 31.9 million, and it was to cater for 12.4 million was reprioritized from the nuclear renewable program and the solar water heating program to assist the national nuclear regulator to the value of 24.3 million. Chair, this was for the nuclear renewable program. It was for the license application that the NNR was busy with. There was a cash flow issue. With the licensing process, NNR will be able to recover the money from ESCOM, but at a certain point in time they were in a little bit of a cash flow crisis, and they have approached the department, and we have negotiated with National Treasury to assist NNR, but we do get reimbursed, and we do get reimbursed in the 18-19 financial year. The compensation of employees budget deficit partially addressed by environment of 7.5 million. There's a further 1.73 million to cater for payments to the IAEA for the hosting of the Integrated Regulatory Review Service. Transfer payments. Year to date, the budget is underspent by 130 million, mainly due to the solar water heating project. Payments to suppliers are being processed as delivery of complete units are confirmed through a very strict governance process in place, and progress has been made even in the fourth quarter in this program. INET non-grid, the underspending of 83.9 million is as a result of delays encountered in finalizing the contracts with the non-grid service providers. However, in December 2016, we have signed 10 contracts for the non-grid project, and progress is being tracked. As of now, we are anticipating we will achieve 80% spend on this project. The international membership fees have been overspent by 4.37 million, and I have explained it earlier on. There were unplanned payments in this area. Program 1, administration. Year-to-date budget was 179.8 million. We have spent to date 211 million. The program is overspent by 31.2 million. It's overspent in almost all categories. Compensation of employees by 11.6 million. And the overspending on the budget is due to the contract posts, with 35 contract positions carried additional to the establishment. Overtime payments of 2.3 million, as well as the reduction in the baseline budget. DOE has requested National Treasury to approve a reclassification of earmarked funds in goods and services from Program 6, that's clean energy, to augment the projected budget shortfall of 6.5 million in compensation of employees. Goods and services overspent by 17.3 million. Yet again, there will be a environment done, and I will give a total summary of the environment as I conclude the presentation. Transfers and subsidies, the overspending of 2.9 million is mainly due to international membership fees, payment of a pension fund liability for two employees to the pension fund. It was approval of early retirement of two officials without penalization in their pension fund benefits. DOE has requested also a vironment in this area, and I will provide the summary of the vironments that has been requested by to National Treasury. Program 2, Energy Policy and Planning. Year-to-date budget of 35.1 million. The program has spent 28.6 million. There is an underspend of 6.5 million. Compensation of employees as a small underspend of 1 million. Goods and services of 5.4 million underspent. The underspending in compensation of employees is mainly due to the reprioritization to absorb the estimated compensation of employees shortfall at the end of the financial year. Goods and services, 5.4 million, is mainly due to the study to determine the job creation potential for different liquid fuels options, totaling 3 million. The bid relating to this project closed on the 2nd of February 2017. It was planned that the contracting process will be completed at the end of February 2017. With the anticipation to receive some work completed before March 2017. The response on the market was poor, as only two companies have responded to the bid. A decision was then taken to re-advertise, hence there is that underspent. Energy footprint study totaling 2.89 million. The procurement process for this project was finalized, and a service provider was appointed, and work on this project is currently underway. Petroleum and Petroleum Products Regulation. Year-to-date budget, that is for the 9 months ended, 58.2 million. Year-to-date actually spent was 61.8 million, overspent by 3.5 million. Compensation of employees is overspent by 2.2 million. The overspending is mainly due to overtime payments and contract positions carried additional to the establishment. Goods and services, overspent by 1.3 million. The overspending is mainly due to overspending in the consultancy services associated with the petroleum fuel sampling and testing project. But we anticipate that this project will complete, if not in this financial year, in the early next financial year. We have requested National Treasury to approve a reclassification of earmarked funds in goods and services from Program 5 to cover the projected budget shortfall of 4.9 million. Electrification and Energy Program and Project Management. Year-to-date budget was 5 billion. We spent 4.934 billion. We have an underspend of 75.3 million. If I go to the main variances, goods and services, overspent by 9.2 million. Transfers and subsidies underspent by 83.9 million. And the reasons for the goods and services overspending? Travel and subsistence related to verification activities linked to completed and unfinished electrification projects and travel for the Triple P events. Venues and facilities, we had spent of 4.17 million. Overspending related to the Triple P events. A total of 9 events have been concluded to date, have been conducted to date. The establishment of the regional offices was only partially funded through the previous MTF process and consequently reflects an overspending. A request was made to National Treasury to approve a reclassification of earmarked funds in goods and services from Program 5 to cover the projected budget shortfall of 13.85 million. Transfers and subsidies, the underspending of 83.9 million, is a result of delays encountered in the finalizing of contracts with non-grid service providers. Yet, Chair, we have had discussions in the department internally. There was a relook at the model of the INEP contracts and the implementation of those contracts. So those consultations were happening internally, and the acting DDG is here to also provide some details. But as I've mentioned earlier on, we have concluded contracts with all service providers and progress is well underway. And in fact, it is a standing item on our EXCO agenda to track the progress on this. And we anticipate 80% of this project to be achieved at 31st of March 2017. Nuclear energy, year-to-date budget was 826 million. The program has spent 730 million. We underspent by 95.6 million. The main variances are in goods and services, underspent of 122.3 million, and an overspend in transfers and subsidies of 26.4 million. If I give you the reasons for the goods and services, they mainly relate to the earmarked funds for the nuclear renewable program. The budget for this program was 200 million as a once-off allocation for the nuclear renewable program. They were for prep work for that program. There were delays in the disbursements under this program in relation to the procurement of the program management system. To date, the department has disbursed 46.74 million against an order of 121 million for the 2016-17 year, leaving an outstanding commitment of 124.26 million, which was reduced by payments of 53 million in February 2017. So, Chair, what I'm trying to point out that as much as we've had delays in quarter two and three, in the last quarter, the verification processes have been brought up to date and we have paid. So we have paid to date 46.74 million plus the 53 million as of the end of February 2017. The procurement and payments for the nuclear transaction advisor totaling 20.6 million has been finalized. Delays in finalizing projects associated with the development of the pilot project to train emergency first responders. Part payment of 485,000 has been made and will be made in the last quarter of the financial year. A request was made to National Treasury to approve a reclassification of 48.3 million from Program 5, that earmarked funds under the Nuclear Renewable Program. Yes, Chair, it's the 200 million that I'm referring to. From that 200 million, the once-off allocation, we have requested from the department 48.3 million to be reclassified from goods and services under this program to assist the shortfall in other programs. The outcome of that buyment application is still outstanding from National Treasury. Under transfer payments, there was an overspend of 26.4 million. The transfer payment of 26.4 million, it was the reprioritized from the solar water heating program and the nuclear renewable program to assist the National Nuclear Regulator. The departmental drawings were adjusted in January 2017. Therefore, the negative variance here will be cleared, so it rectifies itself. Program 6, clean energy. Year-to-date budget of 544.9 million. 420.7 million has been spent, underspent by 124.1 million. There's a small underspend in compensation of employees. Goods and services have an underspend of 65.1 million. And the reason for the underspend? The solar water heating project falls under clean energy, and it was due to delays in finalizing the implementation contracts for these projects. Several procurement requests relating to the storage and transportation of the solar water heating units, social facilitation, project management services, and the procurement of additional baseline systems has been recommended by the Bid Adjudication Committee and approved by the accounting officer. The bid evaluation processes relating to these bids have started and some have reached various stages of completion. The monitoring and evaluation of energy savings achieved by municipalities under the energy efficiency projects is being implemented by specific municipalities due to delays in finalizing implementation contracts for these projects. Agreements were signed with two service providers with a total commitment of 7.64 million. And we're anticipating some payments, and they have happened in January 2017. We have requested National Treasury to approve the reclassification of 9.6 million from Program 6, earmarked under goods and services, to cover the projected shortfall in Programs 1 and 5 in transfer payments. So we have also reduced the solar water heating program as a request for environment from National Treasury. The transfer payment schedule as an overview of all transfers within all programs. The first program, Program 6, EEDSM municipalities, has an underspend of 1.8 million. National Solar Water Heating Program, 56.5 million. Chair, I want to state that we've, under the Solar Water Heating Program, in the months of January and February, progress has been made. And we've also further requested another environment of close on to 30 million rand from Goods and Services under National Solar Water Heating Program to transfer payments to increase the manufacture of the hardware. There have been difficulties and some challenges with the framework at the implementing municipalities for the installation of the units. But consultation is currently underway, and I think Cabinet has also directed GIA Chair that the consultation has to be increased with the municipalities, the affected municipalities. But the program manager is here, and they can provide some detail as well. Program 5, NNR, is a 24.4.8 million. This was for the nuclear renewable program license application, but this overspend has been rectified in January 2017. It was just a matter of us adjusting our cash flow. The next big variance is the INEP non-grid, and as I've mentioned, there were delays in the contracts, and which has now been signed, and progress is currently underway and being tracked. International membership fees have also been overspent by 2.7 million, and mainly due to a rollover that we never received from the 2015-16 year and an unplanned international membership that had to be paid. Finally, Chair, a request has been made to National Treasury to approve a reclassification of earmarked funds to augment the projected shortfall in compensation of employees. It was to request the approval of the reclassification of the earmarked funds to augment the projected budget shortfall under goods and services. And if you look at the last slide, Chair, we have moved, and I'm going to try and explain where we've moved the money from, which program, and where we've moved it to, and why we have moved it. Program 5, nuclear energy. It's from the nuclear renewable program. We are taking it to transfers and subsidies within the program 5 of 10 million. This 10 million, Chair, one of our entities, Andrade, has had to be operationalized, and they didn't have a budget to have their operational activities. They had no funds to undertake the operational activities, and there were some mandatory costs that the institute had to pay. They have approached the department to assist. We've subsequently had meetings with Andrade themselves, National Treasury, to try and find a way to assist the institute. The department had internal discussions, and part of the recommendation was to assist the Andrade with 10 million rand for salaries and operational cost. And the money for this had come from the nuclear renewable program, the 200 million that was the once-off allocation. Then we've also taken money to program one for 29.5 million rand. It's to augment the operational budget shortfall and to fund critical costs such as operational leases. We've also taken money to petroleum and petroleum product regulation of 4.9 million. This was to augment the operational budget shortfall and to assist with the retail audit project. Money was also taken to Program 4, to the value of 13.8 million, to augment the funding for the monitoring and evaluation activities. So that was Program 5 that we have taken money to all those programs. Then we move to Program 6, the National Solar Water Heating Program. We have taken money from that program to Program 1, that is administration, for the value of $6.5 billion to augment the compensation of employees' budget allocation and to fund the projected deficit. Also to Program 1, we've taken $2.1 million to provide for the pension fund liability payments. So, Chair, in total, we have taken, if I can summarize, from Program 5, the nuclear renewable program, from the $200 million, the once-off allocation, we have taken money from there, and we've taken money from the solar water heating program to assist the department with the shortfall in compensation of employees, shortfall in goods and services, and to assist in RIDI. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, all.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just go through the operational performance for the third quarter. Some of the milestones, Chair, for under Program 1 administration for the third quarter include finalization of two international agreements by the department. The agreements have been dealt with in accordance with the prescribed legal processes. We also have our legal services dealt with four new appeals. Some of them, Chair, as we may have indicated previously, have to do with the nuclear renewable program, but others also just relate to the issuing of licenses for retail sites and things like that, Chair. I've also, Chair, I've already spoken to issues relating to the target relating to people with disabilities and also just target related to the attraction of women to SMS level at the department. Currently, we've got about 36% women on SMS level, and the target is 50% share. So those are the two targets that we're still struggling with over there to HR processes. Financial management, Chair, as we had indicated, of the 942 invoices that we had received, 908 were paid during the quarter under review. 34 invoices were processed in January, which was still within the 30-day period. And the reason for some of the delays was that there were delays in getting signed off, you know, and from the end users or project managers. One of the challenges there was that an information sharing workshop on essential process was not conducted due to competing priorities within the department. Okay. We have received the MPET result, preliminary MPET results from the TPME chair, and we've started providing, we've already provided our information in January this year to the TPME to provide proof on some of the scores and also the performance that we've indicated in our MPET processes, Chair. So we are awaiting the final results from the TPME on the MPET process. Once we receive those, we then develop an improvement plan on how the department can improve on those processes. That's at the end of the third quarter, Chair. There were still challenges with some of the risk-related processes. We still had not completed the risk mitigation register for the department, but a number of mitigating programs have been put in place, Chair, to try and address this issue because it has an impact on other processes within the department. Policy and Planning Branch, which is Program 2, Chair. Some of the milestones there included the incorporation of the liquid fuel scenarios in the IEP. Public consultations on the IRP were held following the approval of the cabinet. Also, a notice to amend Schedule 2 of the Electricity Regulation Act to enable NRSA was published in December for public consultation, and the revised gas amendment bill was completed, and in the completion chair we incorporated gas to power related aspects. Some of the major challenges that we experienced during that quarter was that contracts for coal and coal generation and gas IPPs for additional power capacities were not completed as planned, Chair. Under Program 3, which is Petroleum Product and Petroleum Regulation, we achieved a target of 1,100 retail site inspections as planned cumulatively for the year. The target for the quarter was 300 site inspections. 450 fuel samples were tested during the quarter review, and about 86.13% license applications were approved, with more than 50% HDSA ownership during that quarter. Program 4, Chair, some of the key muscles there were the ESCOM and specific household connections, which for the quarter amounted to 56,676, bringing the cumulative total to 185,112 for the year. Quarterly report on the number of site and technical audits was completed, Chair. And also a report on progress made on IPP projects was also completed for submission to the relevant structures. The Kamata and Bush Park Ridge IEC projects are under construction, and although there will be some delays on the Bush Park Ridge project, the Kamata project is on track as per planned schedule, Chair. Some of the issues the CFO has already alluded to, which is relating to the non-grid connections due to delays in signing off of some of the contracts, but those have since finalized the contracting for that, and the implementation is ongoing, Chair. Nuclear Energy Program, which is Program 5, some milestones there for the quarter were the issuing of 59 nuclear authorizations by the department, and 53 of those met their required turnaround as the legislature turnaround time, Chair. Five nuclear safeguard compliance reports were issued, and two nuclear audit reports were also issued during the quarter. We also completed a nuclear security report, which was then approved by the principal. Consultative workshops on the new National Radioactive Waste Management Fund Bill were held. This bill, Chair, is to ensure that there's a process for the funding of the National Radioactive Waste Management Institute. So this bill will enable the institute to be able to effectively implemented mandate once it's promulgated. So one of the challenges that we had there was that there was the delays in the finalization of the consultation relating to the National Nuclear Regulatory Act. But those consultations, Chair, are continuing, and we expect to have them completed during this calendar year. Program 6. Clean energy, some of the milestones there the development of the carbon offset administrative system to support the implementation of the carbon tax policy, and also the production of the annual compliance report on the third environmental management plan. Challenges also, Chair, were similar to the second quarter relating to the EDSM program, and mostly due to delays experienced from the municipalities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Yes, sir, that's all. Members, welcome, Deputy Minister. I'm told that there are hot questions that we are meeting around. Okay, so can we get questions on the two presentations? Honorable Makai.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the Department for the presentation. Chair, I have a few questions. The first one relates to the significant overspend in goods and services under Program 1, which is the administration, which is the Minister and Deputy Minister's offices, which we've seen in both Quarter 2 and Quarter 3. First of 13.1 million in Quarter 2, and 17.3 million in quarter three, resulting in a request for reprioritization of funds of 30 million coming out of the nuclear once-off allocation. Could the department please give us some indication and a breakdown of what were the major unanticipated costs arriving here? There was the mention of overseas travel and events hosted by the minister and the deputy minister. Could we understand what proportion of that, of the total, of the variation was caused by probably ministerial and deputy ministerial choices around hosting and flying. Chair, there's a lot of confusion around the role of the department and the nuclear deal now that officially the nuclear deal resides in Eskom. Because if you review the department's documentation and the department's presentation as of end of last year, is that there is no framework agreement between the Department of Energy and Eskom relating to the division of responsibilities between the two players and entities and how the nuclear new deal program will go ahead. That said, Eskom issued an RFI, request for information, at the end of last year, indicating that Eskom was very much in the driving seat in terms of dealing with nuclear procurement, which brings us back to the department and various questions around the department. So, if there is no clear delineation between the Department of Energy and Eskom in terms of the roles of the departments, I'm very surprised to see then that we have under Program 5 quarterly performance targets, we have specific issues relating to an appointment of a transactional advisor, which hopes to be finalized this year. We have the establishment of a project management office, which we already know we've procured a project management system for, which I'll come on to now, as well as a role around monitoring reports on the procurement of nuclear power reactor as per procurement process. So, Chair, we haven't seen the department clearly indicate what its role will be in the nuclear deal, and yet they are moving ahead with budget allocations and spend on various projects. Now, my understanding of Eskom being in the driving seat is that they will be responsible for the transaction. That's why they have issued the RFI. So I'm not quite sure why the department itself is spending money on a transactional advisor that to me does not seem to be need to be housed in the Department of Energy, and it looks like it's possibly wasteful expenditure. Also, Chair, why are we establishing a project management office for the nuclear procurement process if that process will probably reside in Eskom, and Eskom already has the skills to deal with procurement management, et cetera, via the board tender committee, as well as the technical expertise with inside Eskom. So again, why are we establishing this via the department's budgets and allocation? Chair, I'm also just very confused about this 171 million contract for the procurement of a management system for nuclear. And I have a few questions around it. We have apparently there's been an allocation of 200 million. That allocation has been used as the primary payment for the system, which according to the reports, we've now had two payments, although there is still an outstanding amount. Now, I'd like the department to confirm, Chair, and I'd like us to minute their response quite categorically. Is this contract currently under investigation by the Auditor General, as I'm led to believe it is? So are they aware that it's currently under investigation? Are they aware that this has been in possibly a violation of the procurement and supply chain management legislation? And therefore, why, in terms of, according to the CFO, the verification process has been completed and payments have been made? And I'm very much aware that the National Treasury of the Free State, upon which this contract was piggybacked, are in deep, deep, and are currently engaging with both National Treasury and the Auditor General in terms of this specific issuing of a contract. Which brings us back, Chair, to the question of contracts in terms of supply chain management have to be virtually identical for one to piggyback on the other. The amounts have to be the same, and what is being procured needs to be the same. Now, why in any way, shape, or form was the Treasury of the Free State issuing a contract for anything it resembles a procurement management system for nuclear, which is a national competency? So, Chair, there are a lot of questions around this procurement of the system. We raised them at the end of last year. We had some half-hearted answers around what we needed for this and the potential for that. But the fact of the matter is, Chair, the department does not have a defined role in the nuclear procurement process. This procurement management system should probably be residing in Eskom and should be paid for by Eskom. And there are questions around the validity of the contract currently being investigated by the AG, and we'd like to know what the department's involvement around that has been. Chair, also I heard mention of a variance for the National Nuclear Regulator of 24 million in relation to a nuclear new build license. Could the department please give me some information on that, because that is the first time I've heard of that. And Chair, also we saw that we spent 1.7 million rand on an IAEA integrated regulatory review service. What is the output? What did we get for our 1.7 million? I just want to clarify what that was, if that's referring to the IAEA reports on nuclear preparedness for South Africa, which we got a truncated version of at the end of last year. So, Chair, a lot of questions. Also, Chair, just an overall statement. There's a lot of reallocation of funds between different programs, which should alarm us, because it means that planning in the department is suboptimal. If we're having to reallocate funds between programs at a later stage, it means that certain programs are being sidelined for others, specifically around compensation on employees, which has been partially explained. Also in terms of the money that's been overspent in goods and services. But Chair, it is a bit strange that we are, and I must raise some questions around effective management in the department if we're kind of applying for this amount of violence. Finally, Chair, just a question on the environments which the CFO spoke about on slide 22, she said that the essentially 50-60 million was taken from the allocation, from the once-off allocation for the nuclear new build program. So that puts us at about 60 million. The contract for the procurement management system was 171 million, which doesn't in my book add up to 200 million. So I'm just kind of confused around those numbers. If the CFO could please just explain to us the discrepancy, and possibly understand that it might come from the fact that the full payment for management system hasn't taken place. Thank you.
Acting CEO, the person who's controlling your computer there, just ran outside. I don't know why he thinks his job is over. I'm going to request you were outside. I couldn't do that. There are some specific questions that relate to what is being said in the presentation, so I would like you to go to the specific areas when questions are raised. Honorable Esteban,
thank you, Chair. Chair, my concern is also every year basically the Department of Energy overspent on all of the departments, and every year they bring up some very feeble excuses, and we've come to the point in South Africa where every time the tariff increase it also lowers the demand for energy in this country, which is what's currently actually happening. We spent for the budget of 7.5 billion rand, which is not all, with a requested additional funds from that as well. We spent 318 million rand just on staff compensation, and we spent an additional 3.4 million rand on overtime on most of the departments, really. And then we use contractors all over in every department that's not even mentioned here. On the solar heating project, exactly the same as what it was in the previous financials, exactly the same excuses, the underspending on this the solar. I don't know if it's just because energy is seeing clean energy as a competition. No progress has been made on that, and we bring the same things to the table every year. I'm just paging through this as I speak, Chair. Petroleum, really. If you ever wonder why South Africa is taking so many steps backwards, we have to look no further than petroleum. We haven't forgotten that 14.6 billion rand for the incompetence of the management of Petro South Africa. Nuclear energy. I must agree with the DA member who just spoken about it. Nuclear energy is really, why are we keep on spending? We're using contracts. We did studies that cost this department millions and millions of rand, and still we're just throwing money at nuclear energy. The debt level, the levels of debt and the length of time before we have to pay it back. The local, foreigner, we need to know this, all these things also in this budget requirement. The extra request of 67 million, I've mentioned that as well. Only thing that actually, clean energy, 6.5 million. You've taken from Peter to pay Paul again, because clean energy, what I just said, the reasons are.
Thank you. Okay, honourable member, I must remember the surname again. Yes, please start with the surname again. My apologies. Honourable Carter. Okay. I will not forget.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the good presentation. And without repeating what my colleagues have said in terms of the reallocation of funds, but I want to emphasize the point that it is a clear indication that the planning in the department is very poor. if you look into what is happening, this movement of funds from this program to the other, it's a clear indication, and I want to agree with my colleague with regards to that. But my point that I want to emphasize is on the vacancy report. If we had here the announcement of the people around here fund that is active, which I want to propose, Chairperson, to say that I think we need to monitor the vacancy report of the department and see where we are. And perhaps it has to be a standing point in the portfolio to check exactly what is happening. I'm not going to repeat what has been said about the contract codes, but also to talk about the overtime in with the department. And my question is, because the overtime is over, it's increasing. Perhaps if we can get where is the money coming from for this overtime, and yet in other areas, I think most of the areas is overspending, without getting into the details. And then you also mentioned, I laughed a little bit in terms of a major achievement, that when you read it's like meeting with the stakeholders, can it be the achievement? If you're meeting your stakeholders, but according to the report, it's like a major achievement for you. But my interest is on the youth in Naba that you spoke about. I would like to get a report in terms of your engagement and the achievements with regards to the youth, and how the youth are benefiting in terms of the program of the department. And the last one is with regard to this international membership fee, that almost every time they are escalating. What is the reason for that? And again, it goes back to the fact that maybe our planning, the planning of the department is not in order. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Lamin.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, before I ask my question, can we just to get guidance on this? I've got two sort of questions. First, from the presentation, and second, the question is directly straight to the Deputy Minister relating to issues within the whole department. But should I separate them or should I just attack on all of them? And then ask, or should I allow the second round so that I can deal with those are with them that are not part of the presentation? No. Just for guidance, Chairperson, so that I can.
No, ask all the questions. The Deputy Minister is here. Just don't attack. I hear something like attack fighter, attack. So please don't do that in the committee.
Okay. No problem. I'll start on the presentation by the department. The first item on that issue of vacancy rate. You know, in this country we've got a lot of problems with unemployment. You see graduates on the streets with their certificates and saying looking for jobs. I don't know what is the issue. Can we just especially from the COO and the Deputy Minister, tell us what is difficult about filling in this position? Because it can't be an issue that all the time we're told that the vacancy rate and people are not there when we've got a lot of people that are looking for jobs. What is the issue? What is the stumbling block on just filling this position, including those ones of 18? Because we've got all these crises that we're facing in all these departments because people, they act and they don't take responsibility. So can we just be told what is it exactly that is happening? What is difficult with just conducting an interview and saying here's a contract, you're not acting permanent? That everyone must act because people once they start acting they don't take any responsibility. Because tomorrow when we expect results or reports, that person was acting is no longer here, then it's another person who's saying I don't know, I'm just acting. So can the acting at some stage stop? And then the issue of nuclear. You said that based on the cabinet decision, the issue of nuclear moved to ESCOM. So what is the role of the department? So that going forward, we must not, including the money that has been spent, if everything must be taken to ESCOM, can just everything, including every sign that is here, so that The issue of nuclear, we know exactly who's responsible for it. Because this double dipping, you find that ESCOM and ESCOM will give you half answers and then the department half answers. Can we get clarity who is responsible for this nuclear? And so that everything must just move to that one person and then we'll be able to deal with it. The issue of the solar water heater system, we know it's 2.5 years we're coming to this COVID since I came to Parliament. Everything is still at that same level. Nothing has moved. I don't know what is the issue. Maybe it should be Kenya project. What is happening? I don't know. The department might help to answer that one. Now, to the deputy minister. You know, deputy minister, maybe let me clarify. We have written letters to the minister as well as the DG, as both accounting and executive officers. And they've decided not to respond to those letters. I want you, where you meet them, you must tell them that firstly, they are not my seniors, politically or otherwise. When we write those letters, we need answers. And it's not about them that they must choose which letters to respond to. Because all the time we are seen as people that know we want to cause problems or we don't want to contribute positively in the work of what is expected of us as MPs. But it's through this thing of just being undermined and people, they decide to ignore you. And we don't change that kind. So you must ask them that I need answers on those issues. But I'm going to ask you these questions because you are the deputy minister and you must be able to answer these questions. I'm going to start with the second letter that we wrote on the 21st of February. It's relating to the issue of CEF as one of the subsidiaries of this department, as well and the portfolio that we're dealing with. They have appointed Mr. Luvomakas as the chairperson of CEF, and we know CEF that has got problems in terms of management, including PetroSA. There's a mess there. There's a 14 billion loss. Now there's a new chairperson. His name is called Luvomakas. It was announced by the minister on the 9th of December after a cabinet meeting on the 7th. Now, what I want to find out from you, Deputy Minister, today now, is that what were the processes that the minister followed to appoint this Mr. Luvomakas as the chairperson of CEF? How many other candidates that were there and they were considered? Can we get the CVs of those other candidates that applied for the same position and they did not get appointed? What were the criteria that the minister used to appoint this Mr. Makas as a chairperson? What academic and professional experiences that this gentleman possessed that made you as a ministry to consider him as the right candidate for the chairperson of CEF? And lastly on this issue, this Mr. Luvomakas, there was a newspaper report that he's the Benten of Nomvula Mokonyane and is influencing the people there at the Department of Water, telling them how to control tenders. That is not an issue for the department. But where it becomes a concern of this portfolio and the department is that after those newspaper reports, Mr. Makas calls a media briefing, a press briefing, to go and explain himself that he's not a Benten and he's got no influence there. But he uses the banners of CEF, which forms part of this department. Why was that allowed? Who gave him the permission to say when he wants to go and explain on papers, on his own personal issues, he uses the resources of the same department? Because the banners there on that media briefing were CEF. So when we looked at that, we thought CEF is making there's a press announcement that CEF is making to find out that no, the chairperson was appointed in December. He's already using the department's resources for his own personal issues. And what steps have you taken as the minister, or are you going to take regarding to that? Because that is a serious misconduct that you just got appointed in December. In January, you go and deal with your own personal issues of papers and using the issues of the department. That is the first one, Minister. The second one, Petro SA, last financial year, you know that there was a serious loss of 14 billion. Now, there are issues here, Minister. We hear that Petro SA is selling Block 9. So we want to know, are you aware of that transaction? If you are aware of that transaction, why is Block 9 of Petro SA being sold? And how much is it being sold to? And what were the processes that were followed to make sure that sale is above board? And is it true that this transaction is linked to some Russian company that has been given to? And then there is a BE company that has got links with the department. Do you know of that BE company that is going to get 400 million every year just for being a BE company, just to facilitate within this project? Are you aware of all those issues and what processes were followed, and what is the minister's issue? We've written these letters. The first letter was on the 5th of January. The second letter was on the 31st of January. Today we have not received any response from the minister, including the DG. And the other letter was on the 21st of February. And we need answers on these issues, because the problems that you see at SABC and you see at SASA, those are problems that we as a committee, we get blamed, because when the wheels come off, the society is asking, but where was the portfolio committee to look at these issues? Why they were quiet? Why are they only jumping now when the whole thing has collapsed, and then they come and they want to be shown as serious people? Because when things they happen and everyone keeps quiet for 3 years, and only on the last hour and everyone jumps and then wants to play, you know, like we're not going to do that as this portfolio committee. One answers now before the wheels come off. So can we get answers on those critical issues, Minister, and we can get them now and today? Because we are here, the Minister and the executive authority on this department. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable, I mean, can you summarize the second question? I didn't quite get it. You promised to forward me these letters.
I don't know whether they quoted you or not responding as well. But they are there. The second question is the sale of Petro SA Block 9.
Okay.
We are informed that it's being sold to some company with Russian origin. We want to know why is it being sold and how much is it being sold and what processes were there to even get that transaction to be done. And is the minister aware that the BE consortium has got links with some of his senior members within the department? And what are they doing about that? Because we're still dealing with forensic issues of Petro SA and all those things. Now they're selling another issue to some Russian origin. So we want to get answers to that.
Okay, that's clear. All right. I hear some reaction here in the room. At some point, I was wondering what it is. Okay, on the things that Honorable Dlamini said, I'm sure Honorable Dlamini, we are a committee of the National Assembly, so I'm sure you would call, you would still refer to our members as Honorable. The other matters on the 10th, I'm sure we know. So, honourable member, just repeating something you read in the newspaper. So, I'm sure he can do that in the National Assembly. He's not making allegations. He's just repeating something he read in a newspaper. So, in case there are sensitive people here, I just want to clarify that. The part that's important is to refer to members as honorable members. But if Honorable Dlamini is not making allegations himself, he's just repeating what he read in the newspaper, something different. Okay, do we have more questions? No, Honorable Makai, now you have a follow-up question. Wait, what, Makai, what are you doing now? Can you take the mic?
Chair, my honourable colleague from the EFF has taken the opportunity to quiz on some more difficult questions outside of the quarterly report. So I was wondering if I might just add my 5 cents on the back of his coattail, specifically to the Minister in regard to the Central Energy Fund and its Apollo report, which, if you recall, Chair, 18 months ago we sat in PetroSA and we were told this is the turnaround strategy, this is going to save the group, this is going to be the be-all and end-all. We've never subsequently heard of Apollo. Now we hear there's a sale of assets of PetroSA potentially, which Apollo was specifically supposed to address the shortcomings at PetroSA, specifically the impairment, specifically the lack of feedstock. So, Chair, where is that report? Why is that report never been brought to us? And are actions being taken from that report in terms of the sale of these assets which my colleagues in the EFF has raised? Chair, we also want to know where the Genesis report is. In that case, we also want to know where's the forensic audit report on the findings of the Central of SSF in the sale of our oil. So, I mean, if the Minister is here, maybe she can answer all of these questions at once and put our mind at ease. Thanks, Chair.
I didn't change the scope, Honourable Makai. I didn't know what Honourable Dlamini was going to ask. So I won't speak on behalf of the Deputy Minister. She will reply to the question that has been posed. Suffice to say, I do know that in the program we do have PetroSA, and the PetroSA, when they come here, they will come with SAF. So some of the issues that today to SAF and PetroSA, we can pose to them. I don't know if the stand-in secretary can confirm, but as far as I know, it's next week Tuesday. So we can return to those questions. But insofar as the questions you pose to the Deputy Minister, I'm sure the Deputy Minister will answer the questions. But as to the rest of the issues related to SAF and PetroSA, we will see them in a week's time.
Next week.
He confirms that it is actually next week. All right. So can we respond to the questions? It seems okay. Can I also add my 2 cents worth of questions? The contact positions, I do see that they have decreased in the third quarter. But can you explain what are these that are additional to the establishment? Why should we have this acting COO? Are these for special projects or what are these for? And this has a relationship to something you call the pending restructuring decision that's pending regarding the restructuring of the department. Can you explain that? Because when we came here in 2014, we discussed the issue of the new Department of Energy and whether it is fit for purpose. And then you said, no, look, we're separate from the old department, and so. We had not taken the time to evaluate whether the Department of Energy as it stands, as it's constituted, it is able to respond to the mandate now that it's a standalone department. Can you explain what that is? Because I'm still interested to know that work has been finalized, because we don't want to unfairly judge you because we're running a department that is not capable to respond to its mandate, because it was a product of the separation. We had not taken the time to decide are we fit for this mandate? So that issue is still outstanding. So I've seen something like that. So if you can just respond to what's happening with regard to that. Look, the solar water heater program, I think members, two members have raised this issue. I don't know what to say. Are you able to tell us what's the problem here? Otherwise, you see, you'll tell us some story you don't understand all the time. Is there a crime in telling us what is the problem with this? Because there appears to be a problem. A long time ago, we had a discussion that we have a target in this term of installing 1.4, yeah, that's correct, 1.4 million solar heaters. And then you told us in the previous term we had a target, we only installed 400, and of the 400 now there are problems, and then we're going through a process of repair and replace and all that. So this is a massive project for poor people. It's not going anywhere. And a target of 1.4 million is quite huge. So, but you keep telling us some story that we can't understand. Is there crime in telling us what is the problem? Because I think there is a problem. Just tell us what's the problem. Because if we don't tell the portfolio committee, and then in future, as one member was saying, so there are problems, and then we ask, where were you? It's because you're not telling us what the real problem is. Okay, what is the next one? Okay, vacancy rate, I think that has got to do with the inspections. Where is the Mr. Macubel. This is interesting. So these inspections, you say that in quarter two, 800 retail site inspections, 500 retail site inspections. And I'm not just interested in the figures here in this quarter. I want to understand the method. So how many sites do we have? How many retailers do we have? So to say that we performing at a particular level, how many of those must you cover in a quarter or in a year? So I just want to gauge the level of performance with regard to this inspections and what exactly are you checking? The INEP. You say that you electrified 35,000 additional households, and then Eskom electrified 61,000 additional households. Do you mean this is above target for that second quarter? Because I thought these were big figures, but I wasn't sure what you mean by additional. And lastly, so let me get my... The other questions have been asked by the honorable members, so... The important matter of the project management office, so I think we'll clarify that one. The National Nuclear Regulator. Oh, Why is the Honorable Makai? Honorable Makai did ask this question. And let me see if there's anything that's outstanding from the questions I noticed. Yeah, just bear with me. Sometimes my own questions are mixed with the notes I made on the questions of the honorable members as they were raising them. Yeah, it appears. Did I hear anything about these two new additional agreements? Maybe I missed that. I just noted I didn't hear. Maybe you did talk about what these agreements are. If they are just procedural agreements, it's okay. I am interested to find out if these agreements covering substantive work or just some procedural agreement. Yeah, that's all. Deputy Minister, you want to come last, including on the questions of. Okay. All right, go ahead.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and guests who are here. Again, my apologies for the late arrival, as I have said, Chair, I have informed you. Yes, I will come at the end. I think it would be helpful if we can have the CFO and the others respond to the specifics which are related to the third quarter report. I think some of the questions directed to me are actually outside that, so maybe I could be best if I do come at the end.
Okay, I'm going to start. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, can I just request the CFO to deal with the question relating to the overspending on goods and services for problem lines and the environment, question asked by Honorable Makai, and also there was a question related to the transfer of 24 million rands to NNR, and also on the overtime, Chair.
Okay, acting COO, answer all the questions. It doesn't matter who you are referring them to, just go through the entire list. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. Mbambo will deal with all the questions relating to the nuclear program, the delineation of roles between the DOE and the DPE. Issue related to the project management system, and also those were the two main issues, Chair, and also the issue on the role of the DOE is covered on the definition of roles between DOE and DPE. So those were the two issues relating to that. And then one under the project management system already, there were issues relating to investigations by the Treasury on the contract and all of that. So he'll cover that. Mr. Mulauzi, Chair, will cover issues on the vacancy rate of the department and also just touch a bit on issues relating to the targets for disabled employees and also women at senior management level. And Mr. Mbelo will talk to issues relating to the INEP targets, Chair, for electrification, the electrification issues. And you also touch on the other for those who want, and Mr. Zihlangu will touch on issues relating to the challenges experienced with the solar water heating program and the progress we've made to date, Chairperson.
Who's first?
Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and Honourable Members. I'll go to the first one, the overspend in goods and services under Programme 1. Chair, I want to point out, we started the financial year with a 14 million deficit under goods and services. The budget was already cut, so you had a shortfall already. Then we went back to National Treasury with the adjustment process. We wanted 21 million for compensation for employees additionally. So they said to us, if you want the additional budget, you've got to go and find it within your own budget. So we went back to goods and services. We found 7.5 million. In fact, we were instructed to take it from there. So effectively, goods and services had a shortfall in the budget of 21 million already before we started. So through the year, with our various activities, the overspend increased. And amongst the increases are operational leases. We had regional offices move, and the cost of these were over the budget anticipated. Just operating leases went up by 8 million rand. And these were including the moves, the relocation, so it was more than we anticipated. So that covers, so it's not just events that we have done for 29 million. There are various other reasons which I've explained now. If I look at the other one that has come out, the other question that was raised was the 171 million for the nuclear renewable program. Let me go a bit slower. 200 million was a once-off allocation. Within that 200 million, 121 million is committed for the program management system for the 2016-17 financial year. For the 121 million, we've already paid out 99.7 million. So we still have an outstanding balance, which will be paid if work is delivered and verified by 31 March. Also from the 200 million, there's 20 million that was paid to the transactional advisors, which we've already paid. So if you look at the 200 million again, 121 million is for the program management system, 20 million for transactional advisors, leaves us with a balance of 59 million. Yes, there will be other costs, maybe for the transactional advisors that we've unaccounted for as yet, but there is money available for a environment. So that's how the environment came about and how we've calculated it.
There is money available for what?
Environment. Chair, that means I can take from one program to another program. I can take a budget from one program to another.
Okay.
There have also been a question raised on environments. Yes, Chair, there would be some environments through the year. And then we do look at it very closely, quarter on quarter, the financial performance against the target.
Wait there. Okay, you're using a term I don't understand. But I get you. So you're saying 121 million is committed. 20 million was paid for transactional advisors. Now, I don't understand what you mean by committed and what you say has already been paid, because where is that? There was, to date, the department disbursed 46.74 million against an order of 171 million and leaving an outstanding commitment of 124, which was reduced, which was reduced by payments of 53 million in February 2017. I don't understand that. So what do you mean? You paid already 53 plus 46 and then 121 is committed when we had already paid 20 million, can you explain that? I don't understand. I thought you already paid 99.7 Okay, roughly 99 million, excluding transactional advisors, according to this paragraph. Now you say that 121 is committed. I don't understand.
Chair, the entire system costs 171 million. It runs over 2 years.
Yeah.
For the 2016-17 financial year, one purchase order is 121. The next 50 million comes in 2017-18. So that's how the 171 is broken down. It's a project that goes over 2 years. So from the 121 million, which was a purchase order which we gave the service provider, we have paid the 46.7 plus the 53, which is 99.7 for this year. So we still got a small balance. So the projects go over multi-years.
Okay, continue.
Chair, but as I was explaining, that environments do happen. And yes, Chair, there are the financial performance on the quarter plus the targets are reviewed. And if there are funding that are not moving, budgets that are not moving, projects that are not happening, discussions do happen at EXCO where decisions are made that we should have the budget requirements to happen. So we ensure that programs that do need more financial assistance are assisted through the year. So there has to be some financial prudence that we do not allow the money to go back to National Treasury. We will utilize it for projects within the department and which is part of the APP. Chair, the other overtime. I've explained earlier on, we had a budget shortfall in compensation of employees. We had a deficit which we started the financial year with 20 million deficit, shortfall in the compensation of employees. We had a small augmentation of 7.5, which we've taken from goods and services, but we still had a shortfall. And we're still projecting a shortfall at 31 March 2017 of 6.5. But the reason how we managed to reduce the gap between the original deficit and how we're projecting to finish at 31 March, we reduced overtime, we've relooked how we prioritize certain vacancies to be filled. So there were various interventions in the department to reduce the shortfall in compensation of employees. However, there are areas that do need overtime that cannot just be stopped. And one of those areas is corporate services for the security services. And there are for various reasons that overtime is necessary at certain periods of the year. NNR received a nuclear site license application from ESCOM. It's in preparation work for the nuclear renewable program. The license application process would have cost about 24.3 million. The process would have started in March 2016 by NNR. However, they didn't have enough financial resources. We did approach National Treasury to assist NNR. However, Treasury didn't have the funding to assist us. So basically, we were looking for bridging finance. That was what NNR wanted. Treasury couldn't assist us. So the only other place that they could come to was the department. So we had to engage Treasury and find a modality that works for both the department and NNR. And through that process, we have taken money from the solar water heating program of 12.1 and from the nuclear renewable program. We've also taken about 12.1. That money will come back to the department in the 2018-19 financial year. So it was just to assist NNR as an interim measure. We would have liked our money to come back in 2017-18, but Treasury couldn't assist us in that. It was a timing issue, so they agreed they would give us back our money in 2018-19. Chair, I think I've covered my financial questions.
Thank you, Acting Director General, and Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson.
Wait.
Honorable
Wait, Mr. Mbap, what's going on? acting COO, now acting director general. I ignored this. I thought it was a mistake earlier on when I heard somebody saying acting director general. So now you repeat it with authority. So is there an acting COO here and an acting director general? Oh, okay. That's very powerful. Just explain that. Who is the acting director general now? Is that the acting COO? Is that correct? Okay. Yeah. Okay, you must do certain things quickly now. Acting CEO, acting director general. That's lots of power. Okay. No, I thought it was a mistake. Okay. Mr. Mlam Mbambo.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I think it's important to bring the issue of the nuclear new build into context for the honorable members to appreciate how the program has been being developed up to the third quarter of this financial year. The honorable members would note that over the past 6 years, the Department of Energy has been developing the nuclear new build, and there was a decision that the Department of Energy was going to be a procurement agent for the program. Hence, it is important that when the honorable members engage in this second and the third quarter report, have that appreciation in mind, that the role of the department until the third quarter was still the procuring agent for the program, and therefore, all the work that was done by the department, it was done with an understanding that the department was going to be a procuring agent. And in preparation for the role of being a procuring agent for the program, the department was busy developing the various strategies for the implementation of the program that lay out the framework for the implementation, including the procurement strategies for the program. The honorable members would also note that the nuclear new build is broader than a power plant project or a nuclear fuel cycle project. It encompasses the entire program from the front end to the back end of the nuclear fuel cycle. And therefore, it is implemented in accordance with the Nuclear Energy Policy of 2008, wherein the country wants to become self-sufficient in all the aspects of the nuclear new build for peaceful purposes. In that respect, then, during the third quarter, Cabinet took a decision to designate Eskom as the owner and the operator and the procurer of the nuclear power plant, which is just a component of the program. And also, Cabinet took a decision to designate the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, NECSA, as the owner and the operator of the nuclear fuel facilities, as well as the procurer of the multipurpose research reactor. In addition, Cabinet affirmed that the Department of Energy will act on its mandate as a policy-setting department and the coordinating department for the nuclear new build program. Those are the three key roles that Cabinet has pronounced on during the third quarter of this financial year, wherein the procurement has now been designated to the various entities. However, what is critical also in this decision is that the department was clearly designated that it will be the coordinator of the program, and it will also continue to be the policy setting department for the program. From there on, it is therefore important that the honorable members then have an appreciation of the work that the department has done. It was done with the view that the department was still going to be the procuring agent. Now that the decision has been made by Cabinet to designate it to the various entities of the state, the department is in consultation with the different stakeholders with respect to ensuring that there is a transitional arrangement that takes place, and also to make sure that the roles and responsibilities get delineated to ensure which of the entities procure what aspects of the program and how that will be undertaken. And these will be done in accordance with the processes that are for those state entities, which is ESCOM and the NEXA. However, in addition to that, the department has developed a governance framework and also a implementation protocol that is currently under discussion with the different stakeholders in order to clearly define how the department and those state-owned entities will operate going forward on the program. The honorable members also need to appreciate that a nuclear program is a long-term project. It will endure for more than 100 years, and therefore, what the department is now doing is to ensure that there is quite clearly defined roles on how in different stages of the program the department will be operating with the different state-owned entities and what roles each of these stakeholders will be playing to make sure that we can effectively as South Africa execute the program. We can implement the program, we can generate jobs to make sure that we can stimulate the industry through the nuclear new build, as it is called for by the nuclear energy policy of 2008. I think that should then be able to provide an assurance to the committee as to what role is the department going to be playing going forward on the program. The department is going to remain the policy setting for the program, and the department is going to remain being the coordinating department for the program with the various state-owned entities executing the procurement aspect of the program. Going forward, when the procurement process has been completed, the department will still continue to monitor the program to ensure that the government objectives of the programs are being implemented by the state-owned entities. So that's the role of the department going forward. And there were questions around the program management office. And indeed, in the context of preparing for its role as the procuring agent, the department needed to ensure that there is an infrastructure within which it coordinates the program. And therefore, the program management office was a structure within which it was envisaged that the program was to be coordinated, was to be managed, and even the procurement. However, now that the roles have been clearly delineated, the department is in consultation with the stakeholders in order to finalize on the governance framework, to look into what will be the implementing structure look like, whether there will still be a role for the program management office wherein the department will have to coordinate the program with other key stakeholders that are involved in the program. And then there was a question, the CFO has dealt with a question of the program management system, and I think it is important also then for the committee to appreciate that knowing the role that the department was going to take to be the procuring agent for the program, it was necessary for the department to ensure that there is all the necessary systems that will show that South Africa can effectively manage a program of this magnitude. And therefore, the appointment of the transactional advisors that were raised by the honorable members was indeed a correct approach that the department had envisaged, and it appointed the transactional advisors, and they were appointed only to advise the department in its role when it was still a procuring agent up to the third quarter. Then there was a question that the honorable member raises as to whether the department is aware that there is an interaction between the Free State, National Treasury, and the AG. What the department can state is that the department is engaged with the National Treasury regarding the procurement of the program management system. And these engagements are still ongoing. And the department will then request to then provide further input once the consultation processes that are taking place between the department and National Treasury has been finalized. Then there was an issue around what is the value of the youth in Durban with regards to the nuclear new build program. The honorable members need to note that the department, as part of its role to demystify nuclear, the department engages with a number of stakeholders in order to provide information around nuclear. And the youth in Durban is part of the key stakeholders wherein public awareness was being done in order to ensure that the youth get an understanding of what the nuclear technology is all about, or what are the applicable fields that the youth can participate in terms of this technology as we are expanding the nuclear nuclear program. And in addition, the department working with other stakeholders in terms of making sure that there is a benefit to the youth on the program has been engaged in terms of signing intergovernmental agreement wherein there's an element of skills development and training. And in that regard, the department has facilitated, together with the state-owned entities, that it sends a number of young South Africans for training to the various countries. Among other countries we can mention, it would be China, wherein we've had a program with the Chinese where we've sent in a number of professionals to go and undertake the training from phase one and phase two. The phase one of the training has been completed, it was done and completed in China, and then now the phase two has been completed during last year. And also, then there will be a phase three of the training, which is a much more advanced training, practical-oriented training, wherein South African professionals that have gone through the program will then be engaged in more practical construction, project management-related activities of the program. And then also South Africa is sending professionals to go and study the nuclear and master's degree in engineering in South Korea. There is an existing program between South Africa and South Korea wherein we send in professionals. And some of these professionals have come back and they are plowing their trade in South Africa. And also there is a program that South Africa has with the Russian Federation.
I think DJ. There's somebody there next to from your team, next to Mbam. So I can see you itching to tell him that must be sufficient. You should send him a note. There's somebody next to him there who can do it.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Chairman. Yeah, no, Mr. Mbam. We know you can go on and on this one, so we'll call you back to make your own presentation on nuclear. Okay, but acting CEO, COO, acting DG, can we not be too elaborative? Can we get specific answers to the specific questions? For instance, Honorable Makai asks, so what's happening with this contract in its relationship with the Free State Treasury? So you talk about national treasury, so avoid that one. So just tell us, if we're not involved, we don't know anything. And then he says, is the AG investigating this contract? You've got to respond to the thing. If you know, you say, no, we don't know, or yes. So can we just give specific answers to specific questions so that we can be faster? We've got to finish at 1 o'clock.
Thank you, Chairperson. At this stage, we are not aware of the investigation by the AG on the system. We have been engaged with the AG, where the AG has indicated that it will come and conduct its audit to the department. But at this stage, it is not conducting an investigation. So once we've engaged with them and we finalize the scope of their audit, we will then be in a position to have a clear understanding whether the AG is conducting an investigation or no investigation. But at this stage, what they informed us during our audit meeting, they said they are not conducting an audit. They're not conducting an investigation. They still will be coming to conduct an audit of the nuclear energy, as well as including the audit of the system. And correctly, we are engaging also with National Treasury. And once we've concluded their processes, we will be in a position then to take the matter forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Good team.
Thank you, Acting DG, Chairperson and Honorable Members. The question that was asked is in relation to INEP, the numbers. The numbers that were mentioned are actually additional to the first quarter numbers. For the 2016-17, the target is 235,000. And we currently, up to quarter three, currently sitting at about 210,000.
Just repeat the numbers. Repeat the numbers.
The annual target is 235. The additionals were additional as in to the first quarter. The first quarter we had done 67,000. Second quarter is the 97,000 that you've seen there. And I can already report that for third quarter we're sitting at about 57,000.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to the Honorable Members and colleagues. Mine is just to provide a bit of clarity around the delivery of the National Solar Heater Program. I pick up that, yes, there seems not to be some detail in the presentation around what the department has achieved under the program. But I can put it on record that since 2.5 years ago, indeed there has been some improvement in terms of delivering the program, number one. Number two, there has been some improvement in terms of ensuring that the funds that are appropriated for the program are spent accordingly. But that doesn't mean we have not experienced some challenges, coming to the question of the chairperson as to what exactly is the problem with the delivery of the program. If I may just mention just three issues. The first one is that as we implement the program, we need to do so in very close collaboration with the municipalities, because these projects, they occur within municipal jurisdictions. Now, we have been experiencing delays in terms of entering into some form of collaboration agreement with the municipality, an agreement that clearly maps out the roles of the department as well as the roles of the participating municipalities. However, we have come up with interventions to ensure that we accelerate or fast track the engagement of municipalities and we get as much responses as possible. Because if we don't do that, that means we are not going to be able to reach a stage where we are able to say, now we are installing the solar water heaters. Now, in terms of the program delivery, we are doing it in two separate stages. The first one is the manufacturing, supply, and delivery. And that stage, it constitutes about 70% of the cost of implementing the program. And under that stage, I can safely say that for 2016-17, we have already contracted and we have already paid for about 50,000 units that have been manufactured and delivered by the contracted suppliers. So that's a demonstration of what we have managed to achieve in terms of ensuring that the program is implemented. But then we then needed to move to the second stage, which is the installation program. Now, the installation program, like I said, it hinges heavily upon the participation of municipalities. And secondly, we're also instructed by Cabinet to ensure that as we do the second stage, or as we move into the second stage, we need to bring on board all other organs of state, be they municipalities, SOCs, or other national departments or provincial departments, which have got a role to play in the implementation of the program. So to facilitate that, we have set up a steering committee, which includes a number of key stakeholders, and that steering committee, within this month, we're going to have our inaugural meeting in order to shape the installation program. Now, the other issue that has given us challenges in terms of delivering the program, the chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, made mention of targets that have been flouted a few years ago, 1.4 million vis-a-vis what has been achieved. What I need to highlight, Honorable Members, is that there is a serious misalignment between the targets that have been, the aspirational targets that have been pronounced, as well as the funds that are available to achieve those targets. And I'm sure we would all appreciate the fact that such misalignment in the main is perpetrated by the current fiscal constraints that the country is experiencing. So as much as we are aspiring to deliver more than 1 million units, but with the current allocations, we can only deliver around about 50,000 units on an annual basis. Lastly, Honorable Chair, I need to reiterate the fact that in terms of implementation, we are over 70%. The only thing that we need to do now is to launch the installation program, which we believe it will happen at a much, much faster rate than the supply program. Because you will recall that it takes longer to manufacture a system than to install. And the other constraint that we have experienced is that the local manufacturers, they have not been having a capacity, manufacturing capacity big enough to deliver the units at the rate that we were anticipating. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members, Deputy Minister, colleagues. I'm going to respond to the questions that relate to the vacancy rate within the department. Chairperson and members, I must say it upfront that the total establishment for the Department of Energy in terms of numbers is supposed to be having 689 people. However, out of that 689, the positions that have been filled currently is 543, which then gives you a balance of vacancy rate of 78. Then you go further and then you'll get 69 additional to the fixed establishment. This 69 to the fixed establishment is spread across the various branches within the department. Now, like the CFO has indicated earlier when she was making her presentation, you would have noticed that in each program, within its various economic classifications, in the main, you would have noticed that there is an overspending on COE. This is as a result of the fact that when we started as a department, we already had a deficit in terms of the allocation of compensation of employees. But then was also exacerbated by the reduction of budget by National Treasury and slightly also by the appointment of additional on the fixed establishment. So we have taken a process of engaging with the various programs within the department, heads of branches, in order to analyze and determine the critical priority positions that if that particular individual is appointed, then that will be contributing to our plan, starting from the strategy, APP, and any other plan that is within the department, so that we begin, we try to minimize the further inflation of the vacancy position. This matter is also featuring as a standing item at EXCO. We are deliberating vigorously on this matter to try and find the methods and the manner or approach in which we could reduce the vacancy rate. One of the methods that we have considered to look at is to start by saying from the additional, how many of those additional are on contract, which will be ending, and then when the contract end, what do we do about it? If there is no convincing, substantive motivation to renew that contract or to reappoint, and then that decision has to be taken likewise. And then those that are additional on the fixed establishment but permanent, we are considering to move them or place them into equivalent positions so that they reduce the vacancy rate. As we speak, the vacancy rate that we are at is at 11.26%, which means is above the 10% threshold of the Department of the DPSA by 1.6%. And for us to fill the positions, it will depend on how do we determine the criticality of that particular position across the department. And hence, the CFO has indicated that in order to balance the current deficit, a request has been submitted to National Treasury to move funds from certain programs, the so-called reclassification, so that we are able to can cover the shortfall. But in the main, if we were to proceed to fill the vacant positions without considering the financial implications, the alignment thereof, that will cost us a lot of money, which currently we don't have. And hence, we need to strike that balance between what will National Treasury say in terms of our request, but at the same time, we also have to find other methods of saying, how do we then reprioritize in terms of filling those critical positions that really contribute to the mandate of the department. So it's a matter that we believe that we will be able to report on a continuous basis and appraise this house in terms of how are we faring, because we don't want to lose it in our eyes and it's featuring permanently in our management structures. That is as far as vacant positions are concerned. As far as the disabled are concerned, is that we are currently at 1.97% in terms of the people that we have appointed within the department against the threshold of 2% that has been prescribed by Cabinet and DPSA. So you can see that we are not so bad in terms of that, but in terms of the mitigation of improving our current position in our drive during the recruitment process that we are looking at against the vacancy rate and the reprioritization thereof, we will make a drive and make sure that we prioritize the identification and recruitment of people with disabilities. That will also include the recruitment of the interns and the learnership program so that we begin to enhance and improve the position from 197% where we are at to 2% or even above. The issue of employment equity in the SMS, especially in the SMS, we currently at 36% against the threshold of 50%. The recruitment process that we are to be undertaking when we recruit, obviously it will be targeting into the relevant peoples, which will be the women, especially in SMS, in order to can strike the balance or the threshold of 50%. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Acting DG. Good afternoon, Chair and Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. Mine is a simple one on the inspections. At any given time in the petroleum retail sector in South Africa, we have about 4,800 service stations that are operational, employing no less than 70,000 people. So the issue for us of self-service does not enter our, you know, thinking because of those 70,000 jobs. Chair, you asked a question on inspections. We, at any given year, target no less than 25% of coverage of the service station. So basically, we try and cover 25% as a minimum of all the operational service stations. Of course, it could be that we go to a service station twice, so on a consecutive year, because of the risk associated with where that service station is getting its fuel. For example, with imports coming out of Mozambique, we have no assurance that the fuel specification testing is done to a sufficient quality. We therefore have to make sure that we focus a lot on Mpumalanga as a province, for example, which is where most of the imports would end up. What we then test is basically to the octane level at each of these service stations, so that you don't buy 95, you don't buy 93 actually being labeled as 95. We do find those cases where a retail owner will basically sell you 93 when actually you paid for 95. So those are the things we check for. Sometimes on diesel we check the levels of sulfur. They sell diesel at 50 ppm, you buy 50 ppm diesel, and then they put 500 ppm diesel on your tank, or maybe 463 ppm. So we check those, and if we find, then there are consequences for that. We also check impurities in diesel in particular, but also in petrol, but also the flash point, that is the level at which diesel ignites. So we also check the pricing, that the correct price is displayed, the price that is promulgated at the end of each, on the first Wednesday of each month. And that also, that there is a valid license on each side, and that the site has not changed hands. So we license, for example, if we license Mr. X, and then in between Mr. Y moves in and runs the service station. So we have to make sure that whoever the certificate has been issued to is the person operating the site. So those are some of the things that we check. just to give assurance as well that I think, lastly, Chair, we believe that the petroleum sector in South Africa is robust and is getting robust by the day. So I think we're in a better situation now than we were probably 5-7 years ago, because we've been able, through the stability of regulation, to attract new investors into the infrastructure space and so on. Thank you.
Okay. You've answered all your questions, I think, DG. Any follow-up question? None. Okay, no follow-up question. Honorable Esther, on two, very far, got to put on. Okay, can we have a quick follow-up question so that we can give over to the Deputy Minister? Honorable Esther?
Thank you, sir. Just briefly, I just want to say that
we can't hear you.
Sorry, give me a coffee, my chemist. Anyway, I don't want to waste time. Yeah, I've got a 1 o'clock appointment. Minister. So budget delegation. Whoever in any department comes to the CFO and gives them their outlook for the year, and that gets budgeted for. If it's over or under, that's not a healthy situation, Chair. I'm sorry to say, so I don't accept it, and it comes every year. It comes every year in this department. We've also spent 85% of the budget already for this year, which is also not healthy. You know, this is we've still got to do that the last quarter of this year. It comes sadly, you know, in this department. I just mentioned Petros SA. I didn't elaborate like some of the members said, but in the Department of Energy, unfortunately, bailouts and guarantees required and funds has escalated to the point that it has become really a threat to the fiscal future of this country. Chair, if you will please excuse me, I've got a 1 o'clock appointment.
Okay.
Chair, just on this 171 million procurement system, Mr. Mbombo gave us the context up to quarter three, and he's indicated that up until that point there was a need for a procurement system. However, the CFO has pointed out that the payment of the system will be happening over two financial years. So again, when did the department become aware of the fact that it would not need a procurement management system? Or, I mean, Chair, if this was procured this year, you cannot tell me the cabinet announcements appeared out of thin air and the department was surprised to go, oh shucks, we're no longer doing nuclear, we're no longer the procuring agent, but we've already placed an order for a procurement management system, which, Chair, by the way, came out a month before the announcement from cabinet, so again, strange. And also, Chair, what happens to the expenditure that has to go on to the second half that the CFO has indicated in the 2018-19 financial year, or 17-18 financial year, if, for example, it is clear from when the department decides what its coordinating role will be, it's not going to be responsible for procurement. So they have a system which they don't need. Is that going to go to Eskom? Is Eskom going to give back the money back to the department, or are they going to get a different contract, or what's going to happen? We're going to have a system procured by the department that no one needs. So why are we fulfilling the final payment? Chair, this is a huge amount of wasteful expenditure in my mind, and I don't understand how they're squaring the circle here. So either you are the procuring agent or you're not. You don't need a procurement management system. If you make payments first, what happens now? What happens to the remaining 71 million that needs to be paid on this, and why is it coming from the Department of Energy?
Okay. DM, I'm sure you can respond to the follow-up questions as well. They are not so specific. I can say that we, honourable members, do know that we want to return to this specific matter at some point. We had said so the other week. But it's an issue we've got to return to. Because that's what's been said has not been sufficient. But Deputy Minister, can you please wrap up?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Members, I do believe that your last comment is actually very relevant, because I think even though Mr. Mbambo went into detail, I think there's still no understanding of what the actual system is about, because it's not about the procurement, but it's about the role of the coordination and the governance issues around that. But I think the fact that you've said that there is going to be a specific session to look at that, I think that would be helpful, because these are coming as side issues and we're really not focusing on them. There was something I was saying to the acting DG that was not answered, but maybe they can just write something quickly, which was on the fees for the international organizations. There was a request for clarity around that. What organizations and how much and so on. I think in terms of the Honourable Members' questions around the letters to the Minister and the DG and the issues related to that, I must admit I actually am hearing this for the first time, but we have taken note and we'll follow up on that. I definitely did not know about them. There was also an issue which I thought finance would have elaborated a little more on, because I do want to make it quite clear, the Office of the Deputy Minister has not overspent at all. And if anything, we are actually understaffed for various reasons, but we've definitely not overspent. And I thought it was also important, I think that the same relates to the questions that were raised by Honourable McKay as well around PetroSA, SAF, the Genesis report, that those are issues that will have to come up at a very specific time. But just as a comment, Honourable Chair, I believe that each time when we do these reports, it becomes clear that they end up provoking questions around issues which are actually not specific to the report. So I'm wondering whether there's something around whether it's the timing issue, because a lot of the questions are current and the reports are from July last year. So it always creates this issue that we focus more on the current issues and don't really get into interrogating their report per se. I don't know if there's anything that can be done, but I've seen this as a recurring issue. And in terms of some of the questions that have come up as well, I think it also shows that we don't balance the amount of time we spend on each program within the department. There are those ones that we'll have 3-4 sessions on, and there are those ones that actually never come to make a presentation here so that members can actually get to understand the details around the various programs within the department, which I think also then shows itself up, because when you see a figure and members are not really aware what those figures are about and trying to explain that in this little short time also does not help us. There was also the issue around the EIA and the budget around that. It would have been useful to have had time to say what was the specificity around that EIA for which program and what was entailed, because we do EIAs for a number of different branches within the department. So that clarity would also have been useful, but I'm sure we can just get that to yourself in writing, Honourable Chairperson. And maybe as a last point, if I may ask Honourable Members, it's useful sometimes that if there are things that you would have wanted us to maybe respond to and make better use of the time, if maybe you would have communicated with the office. So when I come here, I'm not saying I'm hearing about it, and then I actually am not able to be very useful to yourself. So it would be helpful if you could just contact the office, and we'll try and see how we can then address those issues. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks. No. Honorable Zamin, you can't close my meeting.
I'm not closing.
No.
I'm not closing.
Wait first. If you're responding to, you're commenting on your own questions, and that assists in how we get quite answers, that should be fine. Honorable Matala said he didn't want to disturb the meeting, so he suggested to me that when we receive the last, which is the fourth quarter report, we can have a more meaningful discussion, because we can then go back to do a comparison of for the whole year against the annual plan, so what has been the performance. So when we get that, the fourth quarter report, we can spend more time on this relevant question. I do appreciate that there are issues that were raised that were not necessarily related to the report that was presented to us, but they are important issues that we must deal with. And I've got to be quite clear with regard to this, Honorable Makai. We'd agreed that we will deal with those issues relating to the new nuclear new build program. So it doesn't help to deal with those piecemeal, including what is the role of the department. I don't think the department is 100% sure what its new role would be. So I think that I think we must go into the actual. So when we have a discussion, we can go into the what is the ministerial determination? What is it saying? What is the gazetted determination saying? So what are the implications of this thing, and after the implications of the programs that the department has been running? So I think it's better to discuss that in a focused discussion that just looks at that. And we'd promise that we're coming back to that. When we meet outside of this committee, we'll talk about that in terms of when can that happen. Honorable Gamene, please talk. Don't make your last political statement.
No, Chairperson, no. I want to clarify. I think the Deputy Minister did not capture me correctly. I was not addressing the issue of letters. I said, just pass the message to the minister that I've written letters, and that stops there. Now I've asked direct questions to her as a deputy minister. That deputy minister is block 9 of Petro SA being sold to Russia. It's a yes or no, because this is not just a small matter. The direct question, she's the executive authority of the department as well. So is block 9 of Petro SA being sold to a Russian grouping? It's a yes or a no question. It's got nothing to do with the letter. Letters, I was just wanted that she must let her colleagues not to undermine us. She must, that one must respond. But this one, it doesn't need anything. She can just tell us, yes, is she aware of it or not? Because we're dealing with a company that is already lost a lot of money, cost taxpayers money. And the same thing with that. The direct question about that Luvumaka, how was the process to appoint that person as a chairperson? And also, what steps have you taken when this guy is just getting appointed in January, in December? Before he even moves to the office, he goes and takes the resources of the department to go and do some press briefings for his own personal issues. What is the minister saying about it? So the direct question.
The time is 1 minute past I'm a very punctual person. You realize that I arrived here at 10 o'clock sharp. So I'm a very punctual person. No, Honorable Dlamini, those are very critical questions, but don't ambush. I've told you. Next week, we're having Petro SA here. You can raise the issue of the chair, raise the issue of the block 9, everything you want to raise with Petro SA. So can we do that next week? So I'm raising the issue because we're having a meeting next week. So don't insist that questions relating to something that's not in this presentation be answered now.
So, Chairperson, what are you saying here to me is that we must not ask ministers questions on our own meeting because she's here. I just want answers. That's what I'm saying. These are issues. That thing of Block 9, we did it in January. Mm. That is a measure that was going to be finished by the 31st of January. Even now we are in March and we have not gotten any response in terms of what is happening. So that going forward, when the ministers they come to this meeting, then we know that we must go and deal with the staff at the department. Then we must wait for Petro SA or we must wait for CEF. Then the ministers, they're not accountable for any of these issues. Then we won't bother them going forward.
No, I'm not saying that. I have no authority to tell you that. Next week, the minister will be here. I'm sure the deputy minister will be here. You can ask them the same questions. You can hold them accountable here in the committee and in the assembly. So no issue. I'm not saying you shouldn't ask the question. All I'm saying is we have a relevant platform next week. You can ask all your questions, Honorable Dlamini, to the minister, to the deputy minister, to the DG, to anybody, not just Petro SA. So can we please close the meeting now at this stage? Thank you very much. He wants to say, yeah, he wants to put the deputy minister in the corner, and then next to the minister,
who's coming next week? Is it the entire state group or just state?
No, but that's what it says. All the group there.
And when are we expecting him?
Where is the program?
Huh?
After I can show you the. Haven't you seen the program?
Yeah.
That because we ran away when we were supposed to have a management meeting. Oh, he hasn't sent it to you. He sent it to me. Where is that?
Project Apollo. Where's the findings of Project Apollo?
Oh yeah. So after SEP, we have
but the thing is, but next week's the last week.
Next week is the last week.
Next week's the last week, and we're not doing oversight the following week.
What? Yeah, we should, man. We haven't done that.
There's no money in the budget. Parliament will never have to wait for oversight for water 1 April.
No, but there's
no money.
We didn't
do our oversight.
You're not tired?
Good luck finding that money.
I'm funny.
I don't want to.
Okay, but it will come next after Petrus.
Okay.